This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We want to give it to you. We want to say, Jesus, we love you. Don't you want to just for a moment raise your hands just where you are and just tell him how much you love him. Just tell him. Just for a moment, enjoy him. Just enjoy him. Father, thank you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you. Now let's sing a chorus one more time.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
God, you're so good.
Bless your name in this place this morning, Lord. And Father, as we sing this morning about your goodness and we sing about love, Lord, I need to ask myself the question, what is love and what is goodness? But Father, we only know that because you are good. No man is good, Lord, that you are the only one that is good this morning, Lord. And that true love is you, Lord. And we just can begin to understand. And Father, this morning we pray that you would just continue to impart more of that in our hearts, Lord. To understand the depths of your love this morning, Lord. To begin, Lord, just to see you for who you are, Lord. Father, that you invite us to come up to that place that you want to reveal yourself more. And Father, this morning I thank you for every person present in this room. Right now, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you that they can hear your voice, Lord. Lord, that you meet us at our level. Lord, that you come down, Lord, graciously through your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. Oh God, that we can respond to the invitation this morning, an invitation to come up to you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, we honor you in this place. You are the most welcome guest in our midst this morning, Lord. Oh, we lift up the name of Christ. Everybody say, amen. Amen. Give somebody a hug. Make them feel welcome. And you can take your seat. Well, good morning from my side. If you are visiting here with us, or you're the first time with us, we trust that you're going to enjoy this morning with us here as we have visitors as well. This past week, you know, as I reflect, there's so much things that God fill our hearts with, and you reflect, and you know, it's a journey. It's definitely a journey that God takes you on, and as I reflect upon this past few days, I can see how God has set us up, you know, last year for a future encounter, and that God is so gracious with us, and there are windows of opportunity, and there are lines that God, dividing lines that I want to use this morning. And last year, God drew a dividing line in our midst, and that's probably one of my highlight for the year that I had to summarize, and nothing to take away from any other of the God moments. But there are moments that you know you have to cross over now, because there's a moment. And that was last year, and this year, God took a few more steps upwards. And I want to say this morning, graciously, lovingly, but also with the fear of the Lord to all of us present in this room. As we were praying this morning, some of our people there had such amazing visions, and that God is inviting all of us to the table. There's a place for you at the table, but you must come to that table willingly. Nobody will be forced into that place. But it's a beautiful place to sit with Him and to experience Him. And I really want to encourage you. Many of you couldn't make it. We're going to make available all the teachings of the past few days. But if there's one thing I want to ask you as a pastor, please spend time with the Lord. Take those stuff and ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Ask Him to touch you and to transform you, change you. And I promise you, He will do that. So that will be available soon. We're going to work very hard on that to make that available within, I don't want to promise time, but we're hoping, Marika, listen to this, within the next week. So I just sense, you know, when things are hot, you need to move, you know, and that's where we are currently. So Pastor Michael, thank you so much. James, Oscar, that you came. They traveled 3,500 kilometers to come to us. You know, they have got their own stuff, I want to say, where God has called them, where they're ministering. It's not that they don't have stuff to do and other ministry work. And we are so thankful that you would, you know, just come and spend time with us, impart to us what God has placed inside of you. We receive you as men of God, and we are so thankful for that. And we're looking forward to where God is taking us. Some of us wanted you to stay another week, and I know that you have so much more there to do, but we are so thankful and want to call you to this year to the front. Let's just give them a hand. Thank you so much.
I'm on now. Hallelujah. So if you don't have a home, you really need to make this your home. I can say that. The pastor can't. I'm serious. If you don't have a spiritual home, you need to make this your home. This is a place where God is visiting, God is moving, God is equipping, God is shaking people to come up to a higher place. And that's what we need, all of us. Yeah. If there's anything that God wants, and if you know anything about the Hebrew teachers of old, they declare it over and over again in their writings and their declarations, and it's this, that God is looking to have oneness, yeah. Not fellowship, oneness with us. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. God is looking to have oneness with you. We're so busy about our lives, aren't we? Yeah. We're so busy about doing our thing, trying to make our money and whatever else, that we forget about our God. Yeah. And one day, every one of us is going to come face to face with Him. And even perhaps on this planet, you will come face to face with Him. Yeah. We've been interceding for rain in Namibia the last week, I would say. And certainly when I go back to Malawi, I will be carrying that burden in my heart that God sends rain on your land, because we've seen God do the most amazing and incredible things in Malawi through intercession. And it's not just going to happen, everybody. It's going to happen because we pray it down. Yeah, amen. Because we pray the hand of God moves in the natural circumstances and even the spiritual circumstances to do what God can do and what we can never do. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I want you to turn with me to Genesis. I'm going to look this morning at this character, Melchizedek, because so many people seem confused about who he is and why is he in the Word. He's one of the most powerful, prominent people in the Word of God, and yet we totally ignore him. So Genesis chapter 14, and I'm going to go through all the scripture, and then I'm going to share with you. Verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, that is the elements of communion, amen, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't want any spectators here. We're all involved in the body of Christ. I expect you to get excited.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. All right. And he blessed him, that is, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Woo! Hallelujah. Now, everybody, here is Abraham, who, if you know the word of God, was the friend of God, or is the friend of God forever. How would you like to be called the friend of God forever? Hallelujah. Yeah, I certainly would be. All right? And then here is Melchizedek, comes out of this, the gates of this city, the city of actually Jerusalem. Yeah? Before it was ever called Jerusalem, Salem, the city of peace, comes out carrying bread and wine. This mighty, mighty man of God that the scripture doesn't tell us too much about, but leaves us to understand just how great this man is. Amen? Mm-hmm. And Melchizedek, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God." Wow. Here's a priest, the blessing God. Here is a priest blessing God. This is the act of blessing. This is the act of receiving. Amen? When I lay hands on you, I'm blessing you. How many want to be blessed? All of you, of course. All of you. Then get into a place where you can be blessed. God isn't just going to bless you, everybody. You got to get into a place where God can bless you and will bless you. Mm-hmm. "Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." You know, here's Abraham wandering around in the land of Canaan, and I'm very sure if you read the whole account of Abraham, he's got this attitude, "I'm the only one here that knows God. I'm the only servant of God wandering around amongst these Canaanites who really don't like me. Everybody feels sorry for me." How many of you walk around like that in your daily life? Feel sorry for me. God isn't going to feel sorry for you, that I promise you. God doesn't feel sorry for anyone. Yes, he has compassion, but he won't feel sorry for you. Get in line with God and receive his blessings. Get in line with God and receive his blessings. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Then you don't want anybody to feel sorry for you. Yeah. Have you ever stopped to think, what does it help when somebody puts their hand on your shoulder and says, "I'm sorry"? Or "poor you"? What has it done? Nothing. It's done absolutely nothing for you. Uh-huh. But when we've got compassion, as Jesus had, yeah, it makes us do something for somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry is a wasted word. And he blessed and said, "Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him, that is, Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Yes. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, and I will not take from you a thread, even to a shoe latchet. And that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich." Amen. All right, then go with me to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, in chapter 7. Now, I know you've probably sit in many churches and listened to many pastors, and some have preached this message, and you've said, because you haven't understood, because the pastor hasn't understood. Mm-hmm. So this morning I'm going to give you the true account of exactly who this Melchizedek is or was, yeah, and who you are. Right, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Amen. He's a man. He's not Jesus Christ. He's a man. Amen. Now, everybody, put yourself in Melchizedek's shoes. God is looking for you to be a priest unto him. That's God's highest calling for every one of us, is to be a ministering priest unto the Lord. Amen. Yeah?
Hallelujah.
So this morning I was listening as everybody was singing. It's all right, I'll fix your musician afterwards. Because it's not his job to stand up there strumming a guitar, yeah, and leading you all in song. That's entertainment. It's for him to lead you to the throne of God. Are you listening, Mr. Musician? Yeah. It's for musicians to lead us to the throne of God. And beloved, the Spirit of the Lord touches us in the depths of our being so that what? So that out of our mouths, because here's the fire of God in here, the fire of God must burn inside of me so that when I open my mouth, I've got something to say.
Yes.
Amen. Amen? The music is supposed just to encourage us, to stir us, so that we voluntarily, individually, declare the majesty and the glory of God.
Amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't take spectators.
Amen.
We are all participators in the glorious kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
And if you're uncomfortable, get delivered from your uncomfortable position. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah? God is looking for a priest. God is looking for a praise from you. Not corporately as we sing, we all hide behind each other. Yes? That's exactly what happens when the musicians start to play and we just sing song after song after song. Everybody hides behind each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah? God is wanting you to be a voice, a trumpet. Amen? This mouth ought to be a trumpet. Oh boy, can you use your mouth for things you shouldn't be using it for? Amen?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've seen, how many of you are cattle farmers? Yeah, nobody wants to put up their hand because I'm going to say something. Yeah? See, I've watched cattle farmers and I'm a cattle farmer. As well as a pastor, I'm a cattle farmer. And I love going down there and looking at my cattle. I love to talk to my cattle. I lay hands on them. I bless them. Yes? I tell them, don't you give me bull calves. I don't want bull calves from you. I want heifers. Come on. And they give me heifers. Yeah, you see, we should know the laws of nature. Yeah, but we don't. I had a friend of mine, he was a dairy farmer. And all his cattle were giving him were bull calves, bull calves. He called me, Pastor, what can I do? I said, no, don't problem. Bring them in and I'll lay hands on them. And I'll rebuke them. Yes? If they need to be whipped, I'll whip them. Yeah? So I laid hands on every one of those cows and commanded them in the name of Jesus, stop your nonsense and bring forth heifers. Come on, everybody. The next season, he got 90% heifers. From almost none, 90%. We have the power. Amen. We rule over the lower nature, everybody.
Yes.
The problem is when we are ruled over, how can we rule?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an avocado pear tree. Spindly little thing. It never, so, you know, I know that avocado pears like iron. So I took a bag of nails and I nailed the spindly little tree. It looked like a pincushion by the time I was finished with it. Yeah, and then I commanded it, Now you are going to grow and you're going to bring forth fruit. I took a stick and I thoroughly whipped every leaf off that tree. And I commanded it. You see, you don't believe it. You're looking at me like, where do you come from? Africa. So the next season, that pear tree had so many avocados, the branches were breaking. I had to prop them all up from a spindly little thing about that big. Yeah. So I have a lemon tree at my house right now. I was telling this story one time, and Mr. James here looked at me like you're looking at me. So I said, take this stick and whip that lemon tree and tell it you bring forth fruit next season, or I'm chopping you down. Didn't Jesus speak to the fig tree? Yeah. Didn't Jesus speak to the fig tree, everybody? Yeah. And so James half-heartedly whipped it, you know, no faith. It's like, okay, one, two. I said, whip the thing. I took the stick and I thrashed that tree and I commanded, bring forth fruit. The next season, it was heavy with fruit. Try it. Try it. Speak to your sheep, speak to your goats, speak to your cattle. Lay hands on them, deliver them from their nonsense, and command them to bring forth, and they will bring forth.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
I'm not just a storyteller, everybody. There's a purpose behind everything. All right. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest, if there's anything God is looking for, it's for you to be a priest. Amen?
Amen?
You want your kids to go to university and be educated, don't you? It amazes me if God is the most important person in your life and the most important thing in your life, why aren't you raising up your kids to be mighty men and women of God? No, I want my son to be a doctor. I want my son to be a lawyer. I want my son to be this. I want my son to be that. I want my daughter to be this, and so on and so forth. We need to ask God, anoint my children to be great priests.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Great priests unto you, Lord.
Yes.
There's nothing more important, everybody.
Yes.
Nothing more important.
Yes.
And people being great priests unto God.
Yes.
Because that's what God's looking for. God wants you and you and you and everybody here to be a priest unto him.
Yes.
A real priest unto him.
Yes. Okay,
yeah? And what is the priesthood ministry? It's to worship God. It's to glorify God. It's to magnify God.
Yeah.
Huh? Somebody says, I don't pray aloud. Well, it's about time you did pray aloud. It's about time you did open your mouth and speak to God.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You can speak to your husband, you can speak to your wife, you can speak to your kids, or maybe you don't, but anyway. It's time you did. Yeah? So speak to God. That's one of the things that we've been doing this past week in intercession exercise, is having everybody to speak to God. God, I love you.
Hallelujah.
God, you're glorious. God, you're wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
All right. How long do I have here?
Go on.
Till 12 o'clock. Just joking. It's all right. I know you're already thinking about lunch. You've just eaten breakfast. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First by being interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now that whole verse 3, beloved, what God is this telling you, mind your own business. You don't need to know who this Melchizedek is, where he came from, who what his lineage is. That's the whole purpose of Melchizedek. God doesn't want you to know his lineage. We're so concerned with lineage, aren't we? We're so concerned with who am I going to leave behind? I want a son to carry on my name. Oh, what rubbish. What rubbish. When you are put in the grave, are you going to be concerned about who you've left behind? Yeah? When I put you in your coffin, yeah, are you going to be concerned about who you left behind? Of course not. Aren't we ridiculous as human beings? We're just so concerned, what am I going to leave behind? Well, when you're gone, you're gone. Amen? You're gone. Yeah? But if I left behind a heritage in Jesus Christ, well, then I've left something wonderful behind. Huh? We want to leave lands and farms and money and whatever else. Oh, to what? To some drunkard kid? To some dacha smoker? Yeah? You know, people come to me all over the world, oh, especially single mothers, yeah, or widows. My son is a drunkard. My son is a drug taker. I say, well, where's your son? Well, he's living with me. We'll kick him out the house. Give him the right foot of fellowship. Get out. Change your life. When you change your life, I'll welcome you back. Amen. Yeah. You know, the greatest day in America, you won't believe this, is Mother's Day. And everybody on Mother's Day, it doesn't matter whether you're the worst pervert in prison, Americans spend $9 billion on Mother's Day. Everybody sends Mama a carnation or rose and box of chocolates or card. You can be the big, even that, even some of those serial killers, you know, write to their mother a card on Mother's Day and send them a carnation. And say, Mother, I love you. Thank you for being my mother. You know, and Mama gets a card. Oh, that's my son. Oh, that's my son. Yeah. You biggest serial pervert that's ever been in prison. And you sit there crying, Mama, I want you. If only I could see you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all written in Genesis. The relationship between mother and child. Yeah. I saw the mother of that serial killer in the United States. What was his name? Anyway, he massacred over 160 women. Ted Bundy, yeah? I watched an interview with his mother, and it's still my son. Yeah, true. He's still my son. I can't agree with what he did, but he's still my son. Yeah? Don't excuse your son. Rebuke him. And bring him into order.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
All right? Now consider how great this man was. Yeah? Greater than Abraham, the father of faith. This Melchizedek, greater than Abraham, the father of faith. Where does he come from? We don't know. God doesn't want you to know. God doesn't care where he comes from. Does God really care where you come from? No. You do. Well, I farmed on this farm for 200 years. It's been in our family. This is my mark in Namibia. God says, I don't give a hoot. Yes. See? Why? Because the real estate and the things of this world are meaningless to God. God is about you being in his kingdom. Amen? God is about you being a member of his kingdom, a glorious, victorious, powerful member of his kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. He came to set us free. He came to set us free not only from the shackles and chains of sin, beloved, but of culture and tradition. Yeah? When the Lord delivered you out of this, out of the kingdom of this world, into the kingdom of his dear son. Am I saying to you, sell your farm, sell your property? No, I'm not. But I'm saying to you that those things are not of highest consequence. God delivered you out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of his dear son. God delivered you from being Afrikaner, from being Namibian, from being English, from being whatever. He's delivered you if you will step into it, and he's brought you into the culture and nationality, as it were, of the kingdom of God. Yeah. Now, you can hold on to all the other things, and you'll never rise up and be who God wants you to be. You will never rise up to the freedom, the victory, the power, the authority. I am blessed. Yeah. I am called.
Yes.
Highly anointed.
Yes.
Full of power.
Yes.
You cannot experience that if you're still going to hold on to the kingdom of this world.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, this Melchizedek, and in those city-states in those days, and there were several of them, the kings were not chosen by lineage. They were not chosen because my daddy was king, and so I'm going to be king. No, no. They were chosen because of the presence of God. The kings were chosen as to who was the most glorious worshiper of God. Amen? The most glorious worshiper of God became the king. And after you were king, your son could never be king, because there was going to be no kingship by lineage, by descent. Amen? Have we got that? What God is trying to show us is that we stand as individuals before him, that I can't rely on what daddy did, yeah? And daddy can't rely on son. We stand before God as individuals to give God all the glory and honor, praise and adoration that is due to his name.
Hallelujah.
Have we got that?
Yeah.
All right. Now consider how great this man was, and to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Mm-hmm. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi. Now remember, the priesthood tribe in Israel, throughout the law age, 1500 years of the law, the priest's tribe was Levi. And the priest tribe came into being because Moses stood at the golden calf and he said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And everybody, like most believers, stand and look and say, "Oh, whoa, whoa." Huh? And Levi rushed to Moses and said, "We are on the Lord's side." Beloved, there comes a time in our lives when we need to make a declaration of who we really are. It may come under any kind of circumstance or situation, but there will come a time in your life when you need to make a real declaration of who you are and where you stand. I'm on the Lord's side. I don't care about anybody else. I am on the Lord's side. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are living, for those who have not been with us during the week, you really missed out.
Amen.
Too bad. I'm not putting you under a guilt trip, but next time I'm here, you better come.
Hallelujah. Come, come.
Yeah? Now, everybody, there has been a massive switch in the planet in the last 3 months. Some hugely significant things have happened And the greatest thing that has happened is the spiritual war that has been fought in the heavenly places has come down onto earth. Just open any news. Across the whole world, there's nothing but violence, revolution, demonstrations, police shooting people, people rioting. This morning, I looked at the headlines of the news. My goodness, more and more and more nations are rising up, more cities with more riots and more. Nobody wants to accept the outcome of any elections these days. It is because the enemy, Satan, has come down and is stirring up, and it's going to impact you. It's going to impact you. Don't think that you will escape.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need to be aware of what is going on, and we need to make sure that we got our act together and that we're solidly in God's word and solidly in the Lord.
Yes.
Otherwise, the enemy will lead you astray. I promise you, the enemy will lead you astray. So possess your vessel, the word of God says. Possess your vessel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
Those little things you say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nobody's seeing what I'm doing. Oh, yeah, it matters. Because you're giving the enemy a hook. A hook into your life to drag you into bondage. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. All right. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi. Now, Abraham is here with Melchizedek. Levi doesn't exist yet except in the loins of Abraham. Just Abraham. Levi is not even born.
Yeah.
Have we got that? Levi is not even born yet. He's the son of Jacob, yeah, the great grandson of Abraham. He's not even born yet. Nor is Jacob even born.
Yeah.
Nor is Isaac even born. Yes. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Remember, Levi received no land, no place in the land of Canaan when the children of Israel came in, because God was their inheritance. Amen? They had no inheritance because God was their inheritance, and all of Israel was supposed to look after them. Just as the church is supposed to look after the pastor. Amen? That's biblical. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. So Levi received tithes from Israel. So Abraham should have really been receiving tithes from Melchizedek, but he didn't. He paid tithes to Melchizedek. Remember, Levi is in his loins. He's the father, great-grandfather of Levi. And he should have been receiving tithes from Melchizedek, but he didn't. He paid tithes to Melchizedek. Amen? And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The less is blessed of the better. Now, everybody, we're not all equal. We're not all equal. And we will never be equal. Yeah, God raises up people. In the fivefold ministry, for instance, there are some that are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Right? To do what? To teach you to do the work of the ministry. That's what it's all about. Amen? Right? So we're not all equal. And here we find that the less is blessed of the greater. So who was blessed and who did the blessing? Melchizedek did the blessing and Abraham did the receiving. And Abraham paid Melchizedek. I want us to understand this, because you are supposed to be a priest. Yeah, you are supposed to be a living epistle to glorify God. Your whole life is to be a music unto the Lord. Father, I love you. Father, I glorify you. Father, you're beautiful. Father, you're magnificent. Father, you're powerful. Amen? Don't tell me you can't get up in the morning and say a few words like that to God. Mm-hmm. See, in the Old Testament tabernacle of Moses, yeah, the highest place in the holy place was the golden altar of incense. Yeah, and the golden altar of incense was all about worship to God. The priests would come into the holy place. Some would come to the golden altar of incense, some to the lampstand, and some to the table of showbread. All of them were supposed to worship God, but particularly the priests that were ministering at the golden altar of incense were to minister to God with praise and worship and adoration. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you can do that when you come to church because everybody else is doing it. But what God is looking for, he's looking for you as an individual to get the fire of God, and that is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, set his fire burning in you, so that you can be a mouthpiece, a trumpet to God of glory and honor, dominion and power.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Have we got that?
Amen.
And once you have been a priest in the presence of God, and this is what God is looking for, you come out of the presence of God to rule and reign in the world.
Yeah.
Have we got that?
Yeah.
We worship God in his presence. And the greater a worshiper you are here, the greater you're going to be out there.
Yeah.
Because the more that you worship God, the more you get the mindset of Christ, the more you get the power of God and the glory of God, the more you can go out there and speak in the world. And your words will have authority and power, even with people that you never believed would listen to you.
Hallelujah.
Have we got that? So simple. Priesthood ministry to God, yeah? Ruling and reigning amongst men. You know, many of us, we complain, don't we? We complain about what's going on. We complain about the politics. We complain about the economy. We complain about the rain. We complain about this and complain about that. You know, our lives are what full of complaint. Turn it around.
Yeah.
Turn it around. The only way you're going to turn it around, everybody, is that when you start becoming a worshiper of God, all you got to do is say, God, I love you. God, I love you. You're wonderful, God.
Mm.
Yeah. And it won't take long for something to start happening yeah. inside of you.
Amen.
That's what God wants. He wants a fire to start burning inside of you.
Amen.
If you can't do it with your husband and your wife, go along and get into your garden and do it. Or lock yourself in your bedroom and do it. But just a few things like, oh God, I adore you. God, you're all powerful. You're mighty God.
Hallelujah. Yeah?
And something stirs up inside of you. Life stirs up inside of you. Hallelujah. And you walk out and you go out into the world and you begin to speak into the world, and now you're speaking power and authority instead of just endless words. God is looking for a people who will be of power and authority. Because let me tell you, everybody, this is preparation time for eternity. Am I talking so far beyond you that you don't understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is preparation time for eternity. In eternity, God is going to be looking for men and women who can rule and reign.
Yeah.
Yes? You know, I know that many of you have listened to wrong doctrine, wrong teaching for so long that you're totally indoctrinated. And you just want there to be some rapture that's going to take you away, and all the ugly things that are going to take place on planet Earth won't apply to me. Well, if you want to go, come up here. I'm very good at praying for people. Come up here, and I'll pray for you to go today. We are living in the most powerful, glorious, dynamic age of the church. You know, I couldn't care a less about the Antichrist. In fact, I want to meet him. I got some things to say to him. And there's nothing he's going to be able to do to touch me. Yeah? If you're clothed with God, if you're clothed with the anointing of God and the power of God and the authority of God, beloved, the enemy can't touch you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The enemy will not be able to come nigh you. The only people the enemy is going to defeat in the coming days are people who are full of fear. Fear opens a door for you to be defeated by the enemy. Yeah, I'm not going to be subject to fear. Amen? I'm gloriously saved. I'm powerfully anointed. I'm a chosen vessel of God, just as you are. Rise up. Come on. Rise up. Rise up to be the person that God wants you to be. To be the glorious, victorious, powerful. Come on. Give God a praise. Shout. You may be seated. Okay, everybody, I listened this morning. Everybody wants more faith. Yeah. Want more faith. Like it's some magic wand that God's going to... I want more faith, God. Okay, you get it. I want more... No. You want more faith? Be obedient. Be obedient. Yeah? Faith is obedience. That's it. You want to walk with God? You want to see God do mighty things and glorious things through you and in you? Be obedient. When God says, don't go there, don't go there. When God says, don't touch that, it's forbidden fruit. Don't touch it. Amen? But we think that with impunity, we can do what we like and then expect God to bless us and God to anoint us and God to use us. But it doesn't work like that. It works by the fact that God wants obedient people. Amen? Amen? And what is important in your life is different to my life. But God wants all of us to be obedient. And remember, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Amen? You say, oh, that God doesn't mind about that. The little white lies that you tell. Yes, God minds very much about it. Amen. Yes? Yeah. All right. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater or the better. Mm-hmm. So here was the father of faith walking out beside the city walls of Jerusalem, and out comes Melchizedek. And I'm very sure that Melchizedek had been monitoring Abraham for years. Here's Abraham walking, I'm the only one, God, nobody here but me. No, shut up, Abraham. I've got my chosen vessel. Amen? Oh, I've got my chosen vessels. And then out comes Melchizedek bringing bread and wine. Let's have communion before the living God. How did this man know God more supremely than Abraham ever was going to do in his whole life? Worship. Worship. Telling God who he is. Not, you know, praise is asking, blessing God for what he gives us and what he does. Yeah? You know, I absolutely detest church prayer meetings because they're shopping lists. God do this, God do that, God give me this, God give me that. God go here, God go there, God do this. Amen? Shopping list. Everybody comes with their agenda and their shopping list to the Lord. Instead of coming to worship God, Lord, I'm here to worship you. When you really become a worshiper of God,
God will supply all your needs without you even having to ask him.
Yeah. No?
You need to get out on your farm and worship God. You need to tell the soil, worship God. You need to tell the trees to worship God. You need to tell your cattle to worship God. You need to tell the birds to worship God. I'm telling you right now. You think I'm talking nonsense? This is reality. Now, in our school, we have a 70-hectare school property. It's the only place where the birds are. And it's the only place where the birds sing. Because it's God's land. And the birds know. They know. They come there. They know they're going to get food. They know they're going to be blessed. They know they're going to sing to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. And the same with everything else. My cattle are so blessed. Everybody else's cattle are dying, thin. Mine are fat and sleek.
Amen.
Really? Isn't that true?
That's very true.
Yeah. I got 450 cattle that are fat. And people ask me, how, Pastor, how are your cattle so healthy when everybody else's cattle are thin and dying? Because I've got a God who takes care of them. Yeah? I'm a priest, yeah, in the presence of God, and I go out and I lay hands on my cattle and I pray for them. Yeah? I tell my herd boys every now and again, hey, keep the cattle in till I get there. I want to pray for them. I want to lay hands on them as they leave. Lord, bless them, bless them, multiply them, enlarge them, increase them. You see, beloved, we need to get out of this pathetic little human mindset that we have, yeah, and get into God and realize God is the creator of all things. You are not here, but by the perfect design of Almighty God. You men who want to be such hulks, you know. Yeah. Just remember this. You are here by the design of God.
Amen.
You can want to be Mr. He-Man out there on your farm or amongst your business friends trying to prove this and prove that. Now, how many times my staff in the workshop, oh, Pastor, we got such a problem with this vehicle. Huh? Did you lay hands on it? Did you pray for it? Go back and lay hands on it. Go back and pray for it. Ah, oh, Pastor, it worked. Of course it worked. We bring God down into the equation of everything we are and everything we do. God is not here on Sunday morning. He's here every day. He's in your life. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, everybody, He dwells in you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You know, I get so excited about God dwelling in me. Think of it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is dwelling in you. Misery. Think of it. The God, yeah, beloved, the God who the cosmos is too small for. Yeah? Only think about Solomon had the arrogance to say, you know, Lord, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. The universe cannot contain him because he made it. He made it by design, beloved. And if he made the universe by design and it's continuing to grow, what about you?
Yeah.
Mm. By the word of God, you were framed.
Sure.
Huh? You were framed. If you came from an illegitimate relationship between a man and a woman, beloved,
You wouldn't have come forth if God didn't want you to come forth. Yeah? So what do? We walk around feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, man, I don't have a father. I don't even know who my father was. You know, he impregnated my mother and I came forth. I wish I was never born. How can you say such a stupid thing? How can you say such a stupid thing? You were perfectly designed by God to be a glory to Him, to be a trumpet to Him. Yeah? And that's what Melchizedek was. You know, Melchizedek, we don't need to know where he came from. We don't need to know who he was. We don't need to know his lineage. God doesn't want us to know. Mind your own business. Just accept the fact that here's a king of a great city who was a great, great worshiper of God. Yeah. So that he became the king. And then he comes out of his city from being a priest unto the Lord and ministers to this father of faith, Abraham, and is greater than him, and lays his hands on Abraham and blesses him, and Abraham pays tithes to Melchizedek, recognizing I'm less than this man. See, think about all of the disciples, the apostles. Mm-hmm. And then along comes Paul. And all of those apostles submitted themselves to Paul. Why? Because they recognized in Paul, here's a man who knows the Lord better than we ever knew him, even though we were living with him on the earth. Yeah? And they submitted themselves to Paul because his knowledge, his understanding, his wisdom was so excessive. And you can be like that. You can be like that. Get into God, everybody. Get into God and love Him. Get into God and adore Him. Get into God and magnify Him. Get into God and exalt Him. I don't care what your limitations are in the natural. Huh? Moses was of slow speech. Didn't stop him from being the vessel that God wanted him to be. Hallelujah. And as I may, verse 9, as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Right? Now, let's get the picture clear. Under the Levitical law, right, which ruled Israel for 1,500 years, okay, the only priestly tribe was Levi. Right? Which means, hear me loud and clear, which means if we were under the law, probably none of us here today would be a priest. Yes. We got that. Because all the other 11 tribes could not be priests. Yes? There was only one priestly tribe, Levi. Think about it. Think about it. That we would be excluded. Amen? We would be excluded. But under this order, God has made us all included. Woo! Come on, some of you should be standing up and shouting. Which means you don't know what a priest is. Yeah? You don't really know what a priest is. God, I'm here for you. You are my greatest ministry, Lord. Amen. I'm here to wash your feet. I'm here to pour an anointing oil on you. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to honor you. I'm here to glorify you. Oh, God, if you came down physically in the midst of me, there isn't anything I wouldn't give you or do for you. Amen? Think about Mary breaking that alabaster box of ointment over Jesus. What would you do? Drill a little hole in the box, take out a few drops, and cork it up. Yeah? What are we told about that alabaster box? What's happened here? Yeah. We're told
You know, all the self-righteous ones told Judas, or Judas told it, all the other self-righteous ones, this could have been sold for 300 pence. Now, a penny was a day's wages. How many of you would be willing to give a year's wages to Jesus right now? Come on. How many of you would be willing to give a year's wages, 300 pence, let's call it a year? Mm-hmm. But she didn't care. She broke that alabaster box and she let that anointing oil seep all the way down Jesus, right to his feet. Wiped his feet with her hair. A woman's hair is her glory. Huh? She wiped his feet with her glory. And everybody was mocking and ridiculing and had that attitude inside of them. Why was this not sold? And the poor, you self-righteous idiots. Yeah? You didn't care about the poor 5 minutes ago. Now you care about the poor. And what did Jesus say? The poor you always have with you. Yeah? Don't let that be an excuse. Yeah? And when everybody came against Mary, what did Jesus say? Against the day of my burying has she done this. What happened on the first day of the week? When the women came to the tomb with their spices and their ointments to anoint the body of Jesus, he was gone. You missed your opportunity. How many people stand at a grave and weep? Yeah? What are you weeping for? I wish I'd said goodbye. I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd given this and I wish I'd given that. Too late. Too late. Yeah? Our Christian funeral should be a time of great celebration. Yeah? Yeah. We should be singing and dancing and rejoicing. That's the only the reason that we weep is because it's all selfish. Because if we really stop and think about where is my loved one gone, can't be with the Lord. Why should I deny my loved one that? Amen? Uh-huh. See? We make such a who. I say to people everywhere, hey, if I die here today, you know, just throw my body on the street there. Let the city bury me. Won't cost you anything. Why are you all looking at me so shocked? Huh? What the heck do you need a $10,000 coffin for? Hmm? Just wrap me in a piece of sack and throw me in the ground. Are you listening? I'm serious. I'm serious. From dust to dust and ashes to ashes, beloved, why on earth do we want to make such a thing? All right, I'm nearly finished. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, Jesus Christ, the great high priest,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen? Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, what is this all about? It's this. Melchizedek came out of nowhere. There's people who can't come out of nowhere. I go into the real back wastes of Mozambique, and you find somebody who's a believer, and they love the Lord, and it's like they're shining for God, and it's like, how did you get the message? Just got it. God can choose anybody. God can fall on anybody, anywhere in the world,
yeah,
and call you out.
Yeah.
That's Melchizedek. Yes?
Yeah.
Now, then, from Melchizedek, they went into the Levitical order that was priesthood only by lineage. You couldn't be a priest unless you were of the tribe of Levi. Amen?
Amen.
So that would that would preclude all of us from being priests. And then along comes Jesus,
mm-hmm,
yeah, and he establishes a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. The same thing. That you are called. You have been called. Yeah? Some of you may have sat in a church and in a denomination for years and years and never seen the light. Yeah? I'm sure there are people who could testify to that. Sunday after Sunday, listening to somebody speaking from the Bible but never speaking the truth. Yeah? And now suddenly you come into the truth and it's like, whew, all the lights go on. Yeah? And now you come into the kingdom of Almighty God by the power of the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus Christ to you. Nobody necessarily had to testify to you. Nobody had to speak to you. God found you.
Amen.
God found you. And made you his own for his glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And you're not going to leave behind some child, somebody who is going to follow in your footsteps because you're their father, you're their mother. No. They're going to follow in your footsteps because God is their Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And God has called you out of the city, out of the provinces, out of the nation to be his glorious nation.
Yes. Amen.
To be his glorious nation.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He has set you free. He has brought you into his kingdom. Amen. And you are to be his priest.
Yes.
No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you are his priest. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, you are the priest of the Most High God, even as Melchizedek was. And you don't have to submit to the trappings of the Levitical priesthood. Amen. The bondages even that such priesthood introduces. God has set you free to be his trumpet in this nation. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your servants, Lord, that were ministering to us. But most of all, Father, this morning, we acknowledge you this morning, Lord, as the King, Lord, in our midst this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
yeah.
you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Thank you for who you are.
Yes.
Mm. I want us just for a moment just to bow yes. our heads and everybody, nobody looking around. And I don't know where you are in your relationship with God, but this morning, as the invitation was going out for all of us in this room to realize who we are in Christ, not on our own, in Christ this morning. And as three specific groups of people, I sense God wants us to pray for. The first is, maybe you came here by, you didn't come here by accident. God ordained that you be here this morning. It's divine appointment this morning. Nobody looking around. I want to give you the opportunity this morning. If you are not in right standing with God, this is your day. This is a moment that I want to extend that invitation for you to come and surrender your life to that place and say, Jesus, become the Lord of my life. Here I am. I surrender. I stop. I turn around. I repent. I make 180 degrees. I change direction this morning of my life because I was busy heading for destruction. Nobody looking around. I want you to give that opportunity for a moment. If that's you, just quickly raise your hand wherever you are because we want to pray with you. We want to step there. Thank you. Thank you. You can lower your hand. Thank you. There's more hands. Listen, you cannot do this on your own. You cannot be ashamed of this. This is a decision that you need to make. I'm not going to beg you, but I'm going to give you opportunity this morning. Thank you, Jesus. There are more people. There are two. Thank you. Thank you. There are two more specific that God says there are two men this morning that are wrestling. Where are you? Quickly, raise your hand before I'm going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There are more that are wrestling. Thank you. I want us quickly, if that's you, just quickly come and stand on my left. We're going to pray with you. This is something that we want to do with you. This is a journey we walk with you. You need people around you. This is a decision that you need to take. You don't take a decision for Christ out there in the secret. Not in the secret. Come on, let's just quickly, let's all of us stand. Let's all of us stand there for a moment. Those of you who raise your hand on my left here. If you're going to be ashamed today, I promise you're going to be ashamed out there. If you can't be comfortable here, it's going to be hard out there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just stand here. Just look at me. There are more people. There's some ladies here. You raised your hands. Come on. Quickly here. I want you, before I pray for the rest, let's respond when the Holy Spirit moves. Come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for it. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We honor you for the work that you're doing in our midst. There are some more that you raise your hands. Don't let fear get hold of you now. Don't let fear. Come on. Be bold this morning. We honor you for that. We honor you for your obedience. Thank you, Jesus. There are three more. I'm going to wait before we pray. Come on. Those of you who raise your hands. Amen. Jesus, believers, pray with me for a moment. The Lord is not releasing me to pray yet, because some of us, for a moment, at a moment, and then we slip back. So we're going to pray with you and trust them. God wants to pull you out of that nonsense that you're busy with in Jesus' name. Let's just close our eyes. There's some of you that are still wrestling. So God, we thank you that you extend your hand. Thank you. Thank you for your obedience. That you extend your mighty arm to pull us out of that mud that we find ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's one more person before I'm going to pray. There's one more person that the Lord says that you're still wrestling. I'm waiting for you here in the front. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We honor you this morning, Lord. We honor you this morning. Father, we thank you this morning. Can I have some people here praying with these people for mighty encounters? But Father, we thank you for a turnaround this morning. I want us to get some people here in the front, some of our leaders, just to pray with them individually. Then there are some of us this morning, maybe we can just sit, just for the sake of the facilitation, just sit down, the rest of us. I want us to close our eyes, and over the last few days, maybe this morning, you came to realization that you are not walking in that place where you're supposed to walk. You're not seeing yourself as the way God wants you to see yourself in Him. And this morning you sense that God's saying, this is it, this is it. That you need to walk out a different man, a different woman out of this place this morning. Looking at Almighty Father, experiencing His love, experiencing His affection, but turning that around and say, Lord, here I am. I am available. I am your priest. Send me. So I wonder if that's you. I'm not asking you to resign your job. I'm just asking you just to become aware and to become sensitive and to respond to that which God is doing in your life. And it's and something that God wants to trigger after this, just to take you on this journey. That's you and you haven't been there. It's just a place of acknowledging. It's just a place of, Holy Spirit, I hear you. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you. Just wherever you are, just to stand. I'm just going to do a corporate prayer for those of us. I'm standing with you this morning. Just to stand there and say, here I am, Lord. I'm available. Send me. I'm available. I want to become a worshiper. Lord, I want to be a priest unto you. Lord, I've not seen myself like that, but I want to walk in that authority. There are more of us this morning. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Here we are, standing before you, Father. We hear your voice. Holy Spirit, we say yes. Our yes is a yes unto you this morning, Lord, and to nobody else. It's not a yes to man. It's a yes to you this morning, Father. We hear your voice this morning, Lord. We hear the voice of our Father this morning, Lord. Wake up our mighty men and women in this place this morning, Lord. Stir our hearts, Lord, like never before, Lord, for your kingdom, Father. Father, they thank you that you remove us, Father, from the mindset and culture and mentality of this world, Lord, that you place us in Christ, in your kingdom this morning, Lord. I pray for every man and woman that stand this morning, Father. I pray, Lord, that they will stand mightily in your kingdom, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your anointing rests upon each and every one this morning, that your presence goes with each and every one. Lord, that you take residence inside of each and every one. In Jesus' name, I want us for a moment. Now what we're going to do, just stand to the person next to you and bless them. But bless them in Christ. Father, we thank you. Lay hands upon them. Lay hands upon them. And we're going to just, after that, lift up the name of Christ. Come on, let's just for a moment, all of us. We're not going to be spectators. Be participators this morning. Use what God has placed inside of you. Thank you, Lord. Just close those doors for a moment. There's a God moment. I don't want us to run away. Don't run away out of His presence right now. Let's just tarry here for a moment. Thank you. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your hand of grace that extends to us here. I want us everybody just for a moment, open our eyes. I got good news. And the good news is this. Listen, I spoke to my wife when we started in the second session, well, the first night of this year's visit. And I said to her, you know what? I sense God is saying He's going to continue extending that invitation to more of us. You know, sometimes we just struggle to discern God moments, and it's fine. Just get on alongside to Him. But when there's a God moment, I want us to focus for a moment here. Listen, sometimes some of us are, studies show some of us are late adopters and early adopters, but that doesn't matter this morning. God's grace is here this morning. Sometimes we miss the message, okay? But God's grace is here, and this is what I say to you. I sense that God is going to extend that invitation to more to come on board. Because there's a line, listen to me as pastor, I'm saying this to you this morning. There's a line that we're going to cross as congregation. And if you're not there, you're always going to wonder, what are they talking about? Where are they going? And I want to take as many people with. So the good news is, pastor just announced to me, they're willing to stay 3 more days. Amen. Amen. So tomorrow night, Tuesday and Wednesday night, we're back here, okay? Amen. So those of you, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know what? When God moves, don't put a stop. Don't use your watch and look at your watch and your calendar. I've got, put that aside for a moment and just stop everything. Nothing is more important for us as a congregation to transition. We need, and this is, I'm just being reminded of when Pastor mentioned about that as well. You know, when Moses at that moment said, listen, we're not going to go further unless your presence. And I sense this is a God moment. So I'm asking you, but I'm also commanding you at the same time. Be here. Amen. Amen. Get your friends, get your, and if we have to fill the overflow, we'll fill it. You know, get your cell people, get people here and say, this is a God moment. Okay. Do you hear that? Amen. Amen. Tomorrow night, 6:30, back here Wednesday and the following two nights, okay? I'll speak to him about the program. That doesn't matter now. God is here. That's all that matters, okay? What he wants to do, what God wants to do is God's business, and I believe God is leading us. So let's get back here tomorrow night, 6:30. God bless you. Have lovely. There's come coffee and fellowship. Don't go home. Forget about the rugby for a moment. Nothing is going to change. Nothing's going to change. You're just going to be either very glad or upset, you know. But enjoy the coffee first. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.